37 minutes after the hour. How's your day going? Good? Awesome. Love to hear that. Evangelism, that's like my favorite subject. So my next guest is someone I can't wait to talk to. Is Dr. Jerry Root. He's the professor of evangelism at Director of Wheaton Evangelism Initiative. That's a very exciting title. And he went to Whittier College. That's where he got saved through Campus Crusade for Christ. He played football in college and lettered 7 times. So if you are looking to pick a fight, you have picked the wrong guy. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Bill. It's great to be with you this morning.
Yeah, now we're going to talk about my most favorite subject, evangelism. It's not as hard as it seems, is it?
No, it isn't. And it's probably your most favorite subject because you love the person you're telling other people about.
That is so true. That is so true. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's a good starting place.
Mm-hmm.
If we love him, and if we know that Jesus loves us and what he's done for us to forgive us of our sins, it's easier to talk about him than it is even about the Cubs winning the World Series.
Yeah, it's true. Now, you talk about evangelism and you say harvesting where God has already plowed, sowed, cultivated, and nurtured. So we just show up and, boy, there's a lot has already happened. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we want to begin with the assumption, an assumption that's fed by what we know about Scripture and the incarnation of Christ, that God loves people and that we are going not to a place where he has not been. But whenever we go to share the gospel, Jesus is already there. We don't take him to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to find out where he's already working and then move in that direction so that we're not banging somebody across the side of the head with the gospel. We're connecting the gospel to deep felt need that's already there.
Mm-hmm. How are people receiving the gospel nowadays, Jerry? Do you find that it's they're more receptive, less receptive? Is it more polarizing? It seems like in the 70s, I remember all you had to do was pull out a 4 spiritual laws and take people through it, and they'd go, hey, I want to do this. I want to receive Christ. Nowadays, it seems a little bit more tense.
Well, I've led several people to Jesus just over the last few weeks, and it hasn't been that difficult, and I've found hearts are hungry.
Good.
And I believe that people are always hungry for mm-hmm. what Christ has to bring them because God made us for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the key is, though, finding out where God is working. And I think we can do that by asking public questions. What's your name? Are you from the town where we meet this person? If not, where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
And just listen to the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And they will often give you, in their answers, permission to go deeper.
Okay.
You should just keep asking questions and show interest and love of that person. They will often take you to the place where Christ is already itching.
Okay. So give me a little scenario, what it might look like. I mean, if you met me, and how would you gently start to find out a little bit about how ready I am to have a conversation about God?
Well, I'll give you a few.
Okay.
Number one, at one time I was in Chicago and I met a guy and I said, what's your name? He said, Peter. I said, are you from Chicago? He said, no, I moved to Chicago when I was 12 with my mother after my parents divorced. He didn't have to tell me that.
Wow.
He could have told me he moved to Chicago when he was 12.
Right.
And that would have been enough to ask a question. Wow.
Like sore subject there, huh?
Well, you're on. Well, with the divorce it was.
Right.
But, as a matter of fact, eventually what I ended up discovering relative to the divorce was that he was bitter towards a father who never spent time with him or had anything to do with him. And he was struggling how he could keep the corrosive nature of that bitterness from destroying him.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew then I could Velcro the gospel at the place where he longed to know about forgiveness
mm-hmm.
and the power of forgiveness. But if he would have just told me he moved to Chicago when he was 12, everybody remembers what they were like on the threshold of adolescence, that most purgatorial experience of human development. and he had moved away from all his friends. What was that like?
Oh, yeah.
You kind of connect your experience to their experience, and it helps you know how to ask questions. It will take you deeper. And I just on a plane the other day, I led a guy to Christ who sat down on the plane, and a guy sat down on the aisle who knew me from something where I'd read a paper at a theological society we were at, and the guy on the aisle and me on the window, we started talking, and I turned to the guy in the middle and I said, what's your name? He said, Sean. I said, Sean, forgive us for talking over you, but we were just recently at a theology conference, and I don't want you to feel like you're excluded from this.
Mm-hmm.
So we invited him into the conversation. Not long after that, I said, Sean, are you a person who's interested in spiritual things? And he talked about how he had been in Peru studying with a shaman. And I said, well, tell me about that. You mm-hmm. don't have to assume that his own experience is necessarily a sign that God's not at work. Maybe the, as the scriptures say, God will not put out the smoking flax. Maybe that's a smoking flax. So I asked him about it, and he said, it just didn't work for me. It was a horrible experience. And he said, what's in it for you? And I said, Sean, the biggest thing for me is that the scriptures say that God loves me with intensity, unconditionally. And not only that, I'm so messed up, and he has forgiven me of all my sins. I don't know anybody who's done any honest thinking about life who isn't moved by the fact that they could be loved by God and be forgiven. And he shouted out, that's the most comforting thing I've ever heard in my life.
Wow.
Right there on the plane, he gave his heart to Christ.
It
doesn't always go so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're afraid of striking out, don't play baseball. But if you never play baseball, you'll never know the joy of hitting a home run. And you don't know where you are in the process of God wooing a person to himself. And if we're his servants doing his will, we may be number 12 out of 18 people who are going to talk to this person. We just follow God's order and his promptings, and we engage in the work, and oftentimes we see somebody come to faith.
I'm just discovering now how you got to be the director of evangelism at Wheaton. I'm just figuring that out now.
Well, I need to say this, though, too, Bill. I do not have the gift of evangelism.
Really?
I have the... No, I don't. And if you leave it up to the people who have the gift, it's not going to be done as frequently as it ought to be done. I've had pastors say, oh, we like the people who have the gift of evangelism to do evangelism in our church. I said, I want to preach at your church so I could tell the people who don't have the gift of giving they don't have to give anymore. Or those who don't have the gift of mercy, they don't have to be tender towards others.
Oh, that's,
I don't want to go to that.
That's very funny.
That
yeah, I love it.
So I think that I have it as a high value. Everybody who follows Christ and knows that Christ has loved them and forgiven them, I would think would want to pass it on. And I have made a lot of mistakes over the years, but I've grown through those mistakes and learned how to do it. So mm-hmm. I hold it as a high value.
Nice. Jerry, I don't have the gift of paying attention to radio breaks, and Rebecca's looking at me like, go to break, go to break. So we're going to do that when we come back. Lots more with Dr. Jerry Root talking about evangelism. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. We'll be right back. Good morning, everyone. 47 after the hour, talking to Dr. Jerry Root. He's a professor of evangelism at Billy Graham Center in Wheaton College. And Jerry, I was thinking about evangelism, and the problem is you have to show interest in people. And how do you do that when you're in line and you'd rather be looking at your phone?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think our eyes have to be upward. We have to look around us. We have to believe that we are placed strategically by God in the world where we're at. I once had, two different times, I had men come to me and say, Jerry, pray for me. I'm the only Christian at my place of work, and I'm miserable. And in both cases, I put my hand on the shoulder of those men, and I said, Lord, look how miserable my brother is. Please take him home to heaven now. Get him off the earth. In both cases, they knocked my hand off their shoulder and said, what are you praying? And I said, well, there's two ways you can look at your circumstances. Either you are miserable or you're strategically placed. My guess is you'll find more joy if you start seeing the mission that God has given you to love those people around you to himself.
Mm-hmm. That is a very interesting phrase, strategically placed. When you start putting that into your brain, and then when you find yourself in a situation where you feel a little isolated or miserable, and then that kicks in, you're going to look at things a little bit differently. So what I want to ask, go ahead, Jerry.
Go ahead. Well, I think that's exactly so, because creation implies intention.
Mm-hmm.
When God made us, he made us for intentions that he had for us, and one of them is a missional intention.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be aware of that. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Now, let's talk about four little tips you give your students that you teach, and I think these are great, and I think it'd be great for our listeners to get these in their brain as well. The first one you say is believe that you do not have to take Jesus to anyone. He's already there. What a great reminder.
Yeah, I think that that's true. Christ is more interested in that person than you or I will ever be. And we want to believe that as we go. We're working with Christ. We're not working because Christ is absent from the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the middle of it.
And then let's talk about the second one, which is we go to make explicit what he is already doing implicitly. That might need we might need some help on that one.
Well, this is the point about asking questions. We believe God's already working. So if we ask the questions and listen to the answers, public questions, and then go deeper as we listen to the answers, we begin to find out where God is working implicitly.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to bring words and specifics to that work as we present the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't need us. He used a donkey once. He said he could use stones. But he chooses to use us, and we get to participate then in the great privilege of bringing the love of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ to others.
Yeah. I'd kind of like to see him use a donkey again, just for fun.
Yeah. Well, it gives me hope. If God could use a donkey, then maybe he could use me.
Right, it'd be a nice callback. Let's bring the donkey back one more time. Come on, we'll get a lot of attention on that. All right. What about asking public questions? Now, don't we run into some trouble where if we ask some questions, it can be deemed offensive to people? Like, hey, where are you from? Like, ooh, that's politically incorrect.
Well, I think you ask first their name. That's a public question. And they give you the answer. And you say, are you from this town? Because you're both in that town. You know
okay.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they might say, no, I moved here from somewhere. No, I grew up here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and is your family still here then?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the answers start to come, and with the answers you'll be surprised at the information that people are willing to talk about. And oftentimes, like you say, people have their noses in their phones texting and stuff like that, and we're not engaging in conversation, and yet we're hungry for it.
Mm-hmm.
And often these issues will percolate to the surface. It will reveal where a person's hungering for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when we ask questions and the gospel starts to be shared, people ask us questions.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know the answers to those questions, so it causes us to go search and dig so that we could be more proficient. We find ourselves growing in faith as we learn the answers to the questions that people are asking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to lead, last week I was able to lead a Muslim guy to Christ.
Really? That's fantastic.
Yeah, and a lot of it had to do with, again, having people ask me questions in the past, digging, understanding my faith better so I could bring clarification to his questions. But that I wouldn't have gotten there had I not been sharing and then growing in my own faith so I would be prepared for the next thing that came up.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it seem like a diagnostic for good spiritual health is to be able to answer these two questions? When was the last time you shared Christ with somebody? And when was the last time you sort of had something revealed in God's Word that sort of came alive in your spirit?
Yeah, I think those are good, but also to ask why, what prevents me from sharing Christ? If I'm more afraid of what that person's going to think about me than what Christ who loves me thinks about me, then I may be drifting towards a kind of idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
I should be concerned what people think because I don't want to be obnoxious when I share my faith.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm more worried about what other people think, then there's a sort of idolatry of what people think.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than looking seriously at, if I am in love with Jesus and if I know that he loves me, how can I be quiet about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I want others to know that love as well.
Yeah, you know, you can drop little subtleties too in conversation, which I don't find offensive. If you heard something really inspirational or something where you say, you know, about a month ago at church I heard something and it said this. And maybe it's not even necessarily very biblical. It's just very kind, or it's an act of kindness that you heard about. And people go,
yeah.
Huh? Oh, what church do you go to? It's like, oh, you're asking me about my church.
Yeah. Human acts of kindness always open doors, too. I always ask the mailman when he comes to my house if he wants to use the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And just sharing and opening your door to that. I've led one mailman to Christ just by starting the relationship, by being kind to him.
Mm-hmm.
Asking him on a cold day if he wants something hot to drink and so on. These all open doors. And if we have relationships with lots of people in our world, we're praying for them. God's opening our eyes to see and our ears to hear what he might be doing in our world, and it's going on all around us. But we want to increase the span of our witness as well as the intensity of it.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, do you have an unfair advantage of being the director of evangelism for Billy Graham?
No, I have an unfair advantage because I know God loves me and forgives me. That's my advantage.
And the other,
becoming the director of the evangelism initiative at Wheaton College was an outgrowth of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you share Christ and you do it with with regularity, it won't be long before your church will want you to be involved encouraging others as to how they might do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And people will want to learn from what you've been learning.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you suffer at all from any compassion fatigue? Because when you start asking people questions about their life and they start pouring it on, does that wear you out at all?
Well, I think it can, right? Even Jesus had to get away and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly got crucified. That'll happen on occasion, too. Sometimes people will be cruel. But what I've also discovered, Bill, is that if I talk with somebody and this person has been burned by a Christian,
mm-hmm.
or is angry about faith and so on, I say, well, tell me about that.
Mm-hmm.
And once they tell me, I say, you know what happened to you? It's so sad to me. I'm a Christian. Would you let me stand as a surrogate and ask your forgiveness for that was done to you by Christians? And the reason why I want to ask your forgiveness is I wouldn't want anything to keep you from seeing how much God loves you and forgives you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often seen that does the trick. That opens up doors.
Yeah. Jerry, we just have a minute left, but what about when they try to discredit you really right away with a gotcha question?
Well, I don't think, if God loves me, I shouldn't be afraid of any question.
Okay.
I can say to them, wow, that's a really good question. I'm going to find out. And by the way, when I find out, is there a way I could get back with you?
Mm-hmm.
So we can keep the conversation going.
But mm-hmm.
never be afraid. If somebody points to me shortcomings in my life, I say to them, you know what? I want to get better. And I am grateful for any source of anybody who points this stuff out, because I want to take it to Christ who loves me and forgives me, and I also want to make it right by you if I've offended you.
Mm-hmm.
And that opens also doors
to
the gospel.
I sometimes quote Dick Cavett, who says, it's a rare man who wants to hear what he doesn't want to hear.
Yeah, well, as all Christians should be moving in that direction, because we want to grow in Christ.
Absolutely.
Look at our lives as it is, it's far from what we should be.
Yeah.
We're moving in that direction.
Yeah. Jerry, I want you back soon. Thanks for being a guest this morning on the show.
Blessings, Wild Bill. Good talking to you.
All right, thanks so much. 56 minutes after the hour. What a great conversation we have with Dr. Jerry Root. I love that guy already. Already my new best friend. Take a short break and be back.